This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey everybody, welcome to the debut episode of PTBN Play. My name is Brad Whitling and I am your coordinator for a brand new series of gaming podcasts at Place to Be Nation, exclusively on the PTBN Pop feed. Now, what is PTBN Play all about? Well, we're going to be talking about all kinds of gaming topics. We're talking video games, board games, card games, dice games, old or new, mainstream or niche. You know, we hope that you'll learn something and maybe play something new. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So now, and I hinted at the we there because this is a group effort. We have a different approach for how this show is going to work. I've got three other guys on the line tonight that are going to be sharing hosting duties with me. And what that lineup means is, you know, there could be group episodes with all four of us, or maybe episodes with one of us and a guest, or perhaps a combination of some of this group. And that core group includes, first off, he's my old co-host, a man who I have been inadvertently missing on different podcast appearances, my close friend Chad Campbell. Hey, buddy.
Brad, yeah, I mean, this is we're recording this on the first night of the NFL season. There's a lot of masculinity in the air, so four geeks are talking about video and board games.
Nobody had a complaint about this being the night either. I did. That's funny. And speaking of geeks, the next one we have up here is I think you can actually. And I say that as a compliment. You know, we know our own. I think you can safely trace the origins of this endeavor to our rank and file 16-bit video game episode. It was really quite magical and one of the best shows we've had on the feed from a listening standpoint. We've had quite a few people tune into it. And that is my friend Jordan Duncan. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, thanks for having me. Talk about bringing in the masculinity. You got me coming in as well, so. I'm playing Pokemon while we talk to really amp it up a little bit.
Oh, the Pokemon. And to cap off the masculinity, finally, he is the spectacular ace of both Place to Be Nation and PTBN Pop, and that is our friend Glenn Butler. Welcome, Glennie.
Thank you very much for bringing me into this masculine fest. with my various forms of contempt for masculinity. You know, we're going to be celebrating a lot of different kinds of games on this show. I would just like to ask in advance that everyone quit playing games with my heart.
That's fair. I left off that in the beginning. I should have thrown that in. I thought about throwing party games in, and I that's a good one. And games with
I
one's heart.
I prefer Wicked Games. That's the only thing I play with Ben. I said Ben. Ben will be on a future episode.
Absolutely. All right, so for this particular episode, and actually I don't want to say episode because PTBN Play is not of an episodic nature. We're going to be it's going to be, you know, evergreen and unlabeled just by topic. So for this one, we're going to talk a little bit about the things that we like in gaming, passions, if you will. And that's actually a point that Jordan made on that rank and file I talked about, which was his motivation for rank and file, which is finding people that are passionate about things to rank. And that's actually really completely in line with the overarching theme of Place to Be Nation. So it means that he read the manual and the company mission statement. So obviously I like him very much.
It took me 3 or 4 years, but I got to it.
Yeah, this is year four, baby. So PTBN Play is going to be just like that. You know, we're going to talk about some of ours, and then I'll segue into a later segment where we talk a little bit more about what we're playing now. It's going to kind of be a regular segment to the shows. And then stay tuned because we have a giveaway at the end of the show tonight. That's right. We are enticing and bribing a growing audience here on PTBN Pop with not Oprah-like giveaways by any means, but it is something. So now,
look under your chair, everyone. Yes, sir. Unless you're driving, please do not look under your chair right now.
So I want to start with Chad. Yes. Chad, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're into with gaming and your different we'll talk about a little bit later on. Actually, we'll talk about what things you kind of have in the pike. But for right now, tell us a little bit about gaming and what you do.
So kind of my age group, when I'm born, I'm just turned 30 this year. So video games were a part of my life growing up, Mario, Nintendo, PlayStation 2, Xbox, you know, all that. But up to about 2010 or so, I was pretty heavily into video games. I mean, I would say they were probably a solid number two interest-wise besides pro wrestling as far as something I would do. I would spend a lot of time. But I enjoyed them, but I wouldn't say I had ever had that huge kind of passion for them. So in the past 3 years, I've gotten into designer board games. And that's really kind of where I found my calling, I guess, in the gaming culture. And that's where I reside exclusively these days. And it's been a great experience for me because it's been a bonding thing for me and my wife. Also for my family, everybody from my in-laws to my brother to his wife to my parents. I've introduced them to a bevy of different games, and it's something that now I do feel where, you know, pro wrestling still is kind of the king of the castle as far as my hobby interests go, but board games has really kind of safely slid into a 1B situation there, where I'm pretty engulfed in the media aspects of it, the new releases, and keep up with that sort in regards to board games.
Awesome. Jordan, board games something that that you're into also?
Yeah, I love the way Chad put it as designer board games, because I was trying to think of a wording for it. You know, I think what a lot of people who are not big gamers hear board games, they think of, you know, Monopoly and Sorry and Clue, and those are not at all the type of games that I think everyone's played them, but I don't think that's what Chad's talking about. It's certainly not what I'm talking about. It's funny because game nights and stuff have kind of been linked to my whole life. I remember even back as a kid, my parents would have game nights and invite their friends over. The kids would go in the basement and play video games while the parents would play Trivia Pursuit usually. And I just remember having a lot of fun memories of playing with my friends in the basement. We would play Nintendo most of the time. So there's a lot of 16-bit passions to me still. Mm-hmm. I think even though I play the current consoles, I have a PlayStation 4. I do not have an Xbox One. I think my favorite games are still the games that I grew up with, whether they're better or not. But yeah, I really do like the game setting of having some people over and say, we're going to play some games tonight, and busting out some strategy games, some easy games to, you know, if the kids are there, they can play them. And I've got a whole list of stuff of games that I play, because I feel like we have a pretty good range of what we do. And there's actually a nice little hobby shop just about 2 miles from my house that is where I go to get my fix whenever I need something new. So, but this summer has been a big one for us because we spent a lot of this summer having many, many, many game nights where we play all kinds of stuff. So, yeah.
And I appreciate you supporting your local game store, because brick and mortar stores are kind of, you know, going the way of, you know, other niche stores like that. So, and I'm sure that, you know, online is quite easier to do that. So that's great that you're doing that. Thanks. Glenn, what type of gaming are you into?
Well, the way that I would relate to games all through growing up was mainly through having like a few games and playing the hell out of them. There may have been economic factors at play here, but I, as a kid, would have a few Nintendo games. I had a few games on the PC, and I would really do like a deep dive into a few things. So I don't really have the broad perspective on like generations of console gaming that some of you guys have, but I have more experience with a few different things. As an adult, I've gotten a little more exposure to the designer board games that Chad was talking about because of a friend group that I had stemming from college that after we all graduated and we were, you know, moving to different places in the state and we all got different jobs, you know, it's hard to keep in touch sometimes with groups of friends like that until a couple of my friends started doing monthly game days where we would go to someone's house and just play a bunch of games all day and, you know, bring wine and food. And it was like a really great way to have a way of spending time together that was structured enough to get everyone there, but not so structured that it's constricting. And so that was really like the scene that I've been in terms of games for the last several years.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So a little bit about...
I would just add this, too. I think designer board games are a very... it's growing right now in interest a lot. I mean,
yeah.
You'll see them a lot more in even like Target and stuff. They've got their own section now. It seems to be something that's picking up a lot of steam.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I mean, we've been on Facebook chats for, you know, 3.5 years now. And I would say even in that time, right when we first started the website, was right when I was dabbling a little bit in. But I would say overall, like, the interest even in our chat and who we interact with daily has increased a good bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So we have designer board games. I was going to go with maybe tabletop board games. I'm glad that we got that name figured out that's going to be designer board games. So personally with myself, I am not too much of that anymore. I have a brother-in-law who has an enormous collection. So fortunately with families and where they are and things like that, that those game nights don't really happen, you know, when you have a young child that you're, you know, mm-hmm. having to move around and things like that. So I've done some of that, but actually most of mine comes back to video games. So this is a little bit about what we talked about in the rank and file episode, which I certainly recommend everyone talk about. But one of the things to Glenn's point was, you know, we didn't have a lot growing up. So the ones that you had, you played a lot. You know, we had a Commodore 64 and we had an Apple II GS and, you know, any of my friends that had Nintendo, like, I was always, like, trying to, like, sleep over there, and I would play, like, Nintendo literally all night long. Like, we wouldn't sleep. You know, like, they'd be asleep, and I'd be playing, like, Kung Fu at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning because this was, like, my one chance to play Nintendo. So I probably spent
broke
more
into
time,
their house
like,
while they were on vacation.
About it and reading about it, you know, and, like, spare Nintendo powers and actually having one. And then when I got one was, you know, my sister and I had pooled our money and we bought one. It was the early 90s, like a flea market. But really what I think is, and it's something I'll maybe explore down the line, is that, you know, since we didn't have them really growing up, you become so much more attached to it and nostalgic behind it that, like, and as you get older, then all of a sudden it's like, well, I need to have, like, as many as possible. And then that's kind of a double-edged sword, too, because then, you know, if you have every game, it's hard to find, like, well, what do I want to play? You know, and you run into that issue then versus having like a small manageable thing where you can dive into those. So collecting in that has actually kind of always been a passion of mine. I would say it's right there with wrestling also. I kind of ebb and flow depending on the day of the week. I try to balance my hobbies out with, you know, home and everything and work and everything else and try not to go too deep into it. But so yeah, so collecting that, so I have a pretty good NES collection and then all the way up to PS4. Jordan and I are friends on there. No Xbox One for me either, just PS4 there. So what I'm going to be talking about is probably diving into some of our favorites, maybe some other kind of ranking shows, and then also I'll be talking to some other friends of mine that I have that have different passions within gaming that I think would be a good listen. So, but real quick, I want to go around again. This is, we're kind of just setting the platter for everybody here. So for a quick segment here, Chad, tell us what you're playing right now.
Last weekend, I actually played 4 new games in one setting, which is kind of unheard of for me at this juncture and with our usual group. I would say the most, besides me and Jennifer, my wife, playing with each other, the most common group is my brother Colton and his wife Becca. Mm-hmm. So us 4. And thankfully, now I've got my collection built up pretty good where I think I'm at 85 board games currently owned. And my brother has been beefing it up and actually helped out a lot. And it says 96 owned. So I'm looking on BoardGameGeek.com. So 96 owned. Some of those may be expansions, but that's pretty close. But my brother has actually been helping out too, and he's really improved his collection overall. So I'll mention one game that we played mm-hmm. that I think it's really fun. It's kind of more of an activity, but it's really cool, and it's a game that I would recommend playing. I think, and we'll get into this when we do deeper topics in later shows, but this is a game I would recommend to play with people you feel very comfortable around. The name of the game is Unusual Suspects. It just came out in America about a month ago at Gen Con. It's manufactured by Cool Mini or Not. And basically the game is you have 12 cards out, and they're pictures, kind of cartoony pictures of generic people, all ethnicities, and ages, demographics, genders, so forth. Then one person has a card that tells of those 12, one of them is a murderer. So one person knows who that is. And then that person that knows who the murderer is gets a yes or no card, and they can't speak throughout the entire game. Then you pull over cards that say stuff like, did the murderer go to college? And so how you say yes or no, the person that knows who the murderer is, it can really get into kind of some interesting, I'd say, meta discussion, I guess, of how judgmental you, I mean, because you have to be kind of stereotypically judgmental with that. Like if you, you know, you see like an old woman, it's like, you know, is she on Facebook? Probably not, you know, if you have to eliminate one. So you kind of have to make those judgment calls. And that's why I say to be comfortable with the people you're around to play, because I don't think you want any sort of awkward situations. But I greatly enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty fun, very quick. We played four rounds of us, where each one of us was the person that had the yes no cards and tried to lead the rest of the group to pick the murderer. And it only took like 20 minutes for all four rounds. So it was a game I'd recommend. I think it's probably going to be at about a $20 price point as well. So, you know, an easy, cheap pickup if you're looking for a kind of a party game, but also one that I think has a little bit of meat to it, and really kind of showed how the interaction aspect of board gaming that I enjoy, how that can come to the forefront.
And what was the name of that again?
For Unusual Suspects.
Unusual Suspects, okay.
Unusual Suspects.
And you quickly dropped this before, but what was the name of the site that you used to track your board game collection?
BoardGameGeek.com, which is, it's like, I don't know how to compare it. It's kind of like the Wrestling Observer on speed, I would say.
I don't know. It's a huge, huge database with forums attached for discussion of everything that's cool in the database.
Nice. Well, and I do, for video games, I'll plug them right here. I track my collection at rfgeneration.com, and they have the biggest database online. It's free. They're good guys there. They have a podcast called The Collector Cast that I recommend too. And I track my collection on there, including digital. You try to be as up-to-date as possible, like with those ones. Usually I just focus on the physical ones I have, but I do track my digital ones on there also, so including hardware. And they have, you know, all country variants on there too. I mean, it is substantial. All right, so Jordan, tell us a little bit about what you're playing.
Let's see. Well, personally, I am just about done with Uncharted 4 on PlayStation 4. Big, big fan of the Uncharted series, which is basically sort of a puzzle adventure game. You know, I like the stories a lot, and it's the story of Nathan Drake, the treasure hunter. You know, obviously it's the fourth one, so it's Uncharted 4, but I think I'm closing in on the end of it. I was playing it a little bit today. It took me a while because, you know, with having a three-year-old, a game like that, you don't really want to play in front of her all too often because you don't know what's going to happen, you know, what words are going to be said or who's going to explode or anything like that. So now that she's been going to bed a little earlier because of school coming back, I've been playing it more, and really, really fun game, and just looks awesome on the PlayStation 4. It looks so good. That's what I play when I have time to play games on my own. When I play with my kids, we play mobile games a lot. We do play Pokemon Go. I know it's a very common answer probably right now, but what's funny is I couldn't have told you more than three Pokemon's names before this game came out, and from playing with my kids, we go hunting, we go downtown Detroit, we go all over the place. One of my sons has some website where it shows radars of who's where, and if we're like, we find a rare one, we'll drive there and find it and try and catch it, and it's a really cool experience to play with my kids. We also play the WWE Supercard game, which they've kind of gotten out of too, and so have I. It's kind of a little bit mundane, so I won't give that too high a praise. But one of the board games that we actually just picked up not too long ago that is about as simple as it gets is not really, well, I mean, I guess it's strategy, but not strategy as I think of strategy. It's called Otrio, and basically it's they found a way to make tic-tac-toe new, a new twist on a game that's how old is tic-tac-toe, but it can be up to four players. The four of us could play it. You each get so many pieces. It's like a little bullseye, the big outer ring, the this center ring, and then the peg in the middle. And you've got your tic-tac-toe board, and you got to try and, you know, either get every one of your three pieces in one spot or your standard, you know, three in a row or piece by piece by piece. It's pretty challenging. And what's cool about it is, again, because I do have kids who are a little older, my sons are 13 and 11, so they're, a lot of times we're playing games and they want to try them out. And some of the games are a little advanced for them, but this is a perfect game for them where they can win sometimes. Sometimes I can beat them and not feel bad about it, you know. But it's a game that's easy to learn, but hard to really just be great at because a lot of it is random and stuff like that. But that's one we've been playing in the house pretty regularly. In terms of party games, when we have some people over, Bang is the one that we really liked this summer, which I know is not that new of a game, but it's new to me. It's your standard card game. You play the role of a character. I think you can get up to 8. Chad, have you played Bang?
Yeah, I think it's 8 characters sounds about right. Yeah, it's around there.
You get a character. You're your sheriff, a deputy, a renegade, or what's the other word?
Like, oh, the outlaw. Yeah, kind of the guy that sympathizes. But, sure. Yeah.
Sure. And you got to keep what your role is secret, but then you get your own character, and each character has their own skill set, and sometimes it's a positive, sometimes it's detrimental. And basically, you just take – it's a card game, so you draw cards, you play cards, and – you try to, if you're the sheriff, you got to try and kill the bad guys. If you're the bad guys, you got to try and kill the sheriff. And it sounds really easy, but it's really, really fun. And it's a cool game. It's very simple, but it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Glenn, how about yourself?
Well, the game I probably play the most in the last several weeks is a little out of left field from some of the things we've discussed so far, because one of the things that I use video games for in my day-to-day life is just as a kind of time waster or de-stressing time. Mm-hmm. So I have been playing Candy Crush a lot.
Nice.
Candy Crush Soda, I think, is my favorite one if we're going to compare the merits of the various Candy Crush games. But it's just a way to, you know, you play a couple of levels and you de-stress for a few minutes, and then it's as much or as little time as you want, and you go back to your day.
Yep.
Is the way that I use it. And it's very important in things like this to not get sucked into actually paying them. I have held firm thus far. But in terms of tabletop gaming and other things, I always like to get a round together of the Machine of Death game. If any of you guys heard of the Machine of Death?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
The Machine of Death was introduced in a Dinosaur Comics comic many years ago as a machine that takes a blood sample and then tells you how you are going to die. And the machine has a sense of humor, the machine has a sense of irony. You know, if you get your little slip and it says old age, you could, you know, die in your sleep at the age of 95, surrounded by your whole family, or you could get run over by a car driven by an old lady. So there are all sorts of, like, storytelling possibilities there, and then after it was mentioned in this comic, they published a pair of anthology books of short stories, exploring a lot of the possibilities here. And then they made a game where you and your team of friends get a profile for someone that you are tasked with assassinating. But in the world of the Machine of Death, you can take a blood sample and know how you're going to die, so you know how this person is supposed to die, and as an assassin, you have to make whatever is on that slip happen. Huh. And so you have various tools, you have various capabilities, you can roll a die to see if the person has gotten the test and actually knows how they're going to die. They might try to avoid what you're doing. There are all sorts of gameplay mechanics to kind of translate it into a game, and it's just a really imaginative thing, because you have to kind of brainstorm with the tools that you have, how are you going to make this circumstance happen? And so it's just a really fun time as everyone around the table is kind of hashing it out.
Hmm, that does sound fun.
Yeah, it looks like it has, just looking it up, looks like it has kind of like an RPG vibe to it, right?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Like, and it looks condensed.
Free download, too.
The Game of Creative Assassination. Yeah, it looks interesting. I'm going to have to watch some reviews on it.
There you go. See, we're already making an impact here. So,
$24.99 at Amazon, Brad. I'm sure you'll be happy I plugged that.
And, you know, if you would like to support Place to Be Nation and the many shows that we have and feeds we have here, and if you'd like to support the artists at Place to Be Nation, please go through the Amazon link there. And we appreciate that very much. They have a lot of board games, so you should definitely do it. And video games, too. I think with Amazon Prime, one of the things that they offer, I don't know how GameStop's going to stay in business, is that they do 20% off pre-orders, and that extends like a couple days, maybe a week after the game's release. So if you're a Prime member, you're getting 20% off of a $60 new release, and a lot of people, like, why would you go to GameStop then? And so they're really putting a big dent in there. So Amazon, there you go.
I think what you'll see to combat that is GameStop will have exclusive downloadable content.
You got to pay money for that, though.
It'll start being free if you buy it from
that's
them.
True.
That's my guess.
That's true. It's tough to make up that. You know, you're talking like 10, 12 bucks.
Yeah.
That's hard. Best Buy does the same thing with their rewards. And I think being in their club is even less expensive than being on Prime. But obviously, Prime has a lot of other benefits than a Best Buy membership would have. So real quick on things that I'm playing is actually I am playing Madden NFL 17 this year. And while I have pretty much always played that, going back to 94 is probably the first. I played 93, which is the second year they made it for consoles. Played that at a friend's. I had 94 and really, really played that a lot. And I told my dad about that all the time. He hated that. So in recent years, I've had it and not played as much as I've wanted to. A couple years ago, the Cowboy Roger Morissette, we got together and played some online games against each other real late. And last year, I didn't play much at all. This year, I've been trying to be like, all right, I bought it. I bought it that launch. I mean, you can get it right now. I think it's on – usually it's $40 by the NFL kickoff. It is today. But this isn't going out today. So – and I – hate recording things that date themselves, but you can find it probably for closer to 40 now. And so I've been trying to make sure I play it like pretty regularly to get my, you know, perceived time and value out of it. And so it's you know, it's really good. They do a pretty good job of teaching you how to play. I mean, I know how to play Madden. I played for a while, but if you're not really big into the football games, there's some pretty good learning curves into it and different skills things. And, you know, the commentary will kind of, you know, guide you on maybe some basic NFL things that don't come as natural to somebody that, you know, if you haven't watched it all your life. So pretty good game. Been playing that. And then I also, from a retro gaming standpoint, we just finished up. I'm a pretty active member on the Racket Boy forums, all one word. They do a game a month club thing, and for August it was the Metal Slug series. So that's a series of run and gun games for the Neo Geo that made their way in compilations to different consoles. And then there's also, you know, I think the PlayStation had Metal Slug X, and they've had some for the original Xbox, and you know, some download titles there. But the original ones were the arcade on the Neo Geo, and so I played through one and two a little bit on the Neo Geo Station, which is on the PS3. And that's actually a really good emulation of the original Neo Geo arcade. It's actually, you can't even credit feed to it. You're limited with your continue. So it's a pretty good challenge. And then I also have those games on Steam, and I got a chance to play them the other night a little bit too. So they're pretty fun. And so that's what I've been playing from a video gaming standpoint. Anybody here know the Metal Slug series?
I personally don't know that or Neo Geo, so I'm really...
We're gonna have a Neo Geo episode, because I'm going to find Jordan's friend and be like, you knew Jordan 25 years ago, and he said you had a Neo Geo in the early 90s, so I haven't forgot about him, Jordan.
What bit is Neo Geo?
When it came out, it was... Oh, man, it was arcade at home, so it was like 128 in 1991, 92.
Yeah,
super expensive. It was very expensive. And the home games were the same as the arcade, like literally. You know, they were cased differently, but they were the same games. They didn't do it. I mean, the machine you got was a machine that could run arcade games, and they were pretty expensive. I had one, and I sold it a couple of years ago before my daughter was born, because I really didn't play it enough, and that was an asset that appreciated, and I made money on my previous purchase. So But there's some different ways to play the games. There's been some compilations. They put one out for the Wii, SNK Arcade Classics is what it was called. It's out for the Wii, PS2, PSP, if that's your thing. And so you can kind of play some of the games like Baseball Stars, which you probably remember, or maybe you heard of from the Nintendo game. Is actually, that's a port, not the same as the arcade game, but that's where they kind of got the name from, which is the Neo Geo series. So they're pretty heavy arcade games. And they, so that's what... That's Neo Geo, but maybe we'll do an episode about that down the line. And speaking of teasing episodes, so I want to circle back to Chad with that. Tell us about some of the PTBN Play episodes you have on deck for us.
Well, I feel pretty confident there's going to be a top 10 list of me and Jennifer, where she is counting down her top 10 games, which I think is a pretty... I found it to be a pretty interesting list. I'll just go ahead and reveal we've kind of pre-recorded that one, so it's coming down the pike.
That's good for the listeners. They know we're serious business because we recorded that show prior to recording the kickoff show.
Right. So I found that list interesting. I was personally surprised, and I thought the list was good from a perspective of someone that, you know, really enjoys playing board games with me, and is engaged to where she would consider that a hobby of hers. But I mean, she doesn't have a profile on Board Game Geek, and she's not watching YouTube instructional videos like I am. So a tier below, I guess, my obsession. But a really strong list of what I would consider kind of next step designer games. I think most of her list kind of fell into that weight where, you know, if you just got into the designer games, know a couple of them that you've seen in Walmart, kind of your standards like Ticket to Ride and Catan. Mm-hmm. These are kind of some next steps you can take from there.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Catan is probably one that, I mean, I've heard of that one. I haven't played it, but it's certainly been recommended. That's certainly one you can find at like Target or something.
Yeah, I would say Catan and Ticket to Ride are probably the two. I guess those are probably your two absolute standard design. When we say designer board games, those are probably the two easiest ones to point to. And then Carcassonne and Pandemic kind of level below that, but still really popular.
Okay. So Jordan, let's tell our listeners, they've asked, you know, when are we going to get that rank and file on Nintendo 64 games?
Nobody knows.
Oh, he's not responding to it. He may be on mute. He should be. I feel like we're on a work conference.
Oh, yeah, I have been on mute. My bad. I thought Chad ignored me. I chimed in with a game there, and I just thought he'd brush me off because I'm not...
He is prone to doing that. So, I mean, you're not wrong.
Apparently, I've been on mute for about 3 minutes.
What game was it that you were saying?
I said you see Machi Koro a lot in the stores now, too.
Yeah, Machi Koro was a recent one that's really kind of found its way into the big box stores very successfully.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That's been a regular at my game days for a while
very
now.
Easy to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, about the N64 countdown, I said as soon as we can find 8 or 9 hours to really give it the proper attention that it needs, I think we might be going between the sheets level.
Yeah, we're going long on that one.
Yeah, we might have to get Zellner on the episode. You know, I think it's written in his contract. Anything over 5 hours, he appears on it. So, but yeah, I'd be totally down for that. And I don't think it's much of a spoiler that, you know, GoldenEye and the wrestling games would be very high on pretty much everyone's list. So, but Perfect Dark might be higher than GoldenEye on my list. So. Ooh.
That's a pretty hot take. We can talk about it.
We can. You know what else I think would be a good episode, man? You mentioned Baseball Stars. I think we need to do an episode where we break down the rosters of the Baseball Star teams and go back and replay that, because that was the game that had, you know, there was one team that was all like Dracula and Frankenstein and the Wolfman, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and then there was a team full of ladies, and then there's a team full of, yeah, we could. Yeah,
the
we
arcade
could really,
ones were had the same.
Yeah, we could revisit that and see who really was the best team. So,
you know, back in the day when they didn't, you know, unless you were RBI Baseball and you had an MLBPA license, you know, a lot of people remember, like, there's not just Baseball Stars, but, like, you know, Bases Loaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the players, I mean, kids grew up with that, and it was just the guys you played with. Yep. You know, so there's a lot of nostalgia for that. So that that's certainly interesting.
I like Baseball Stars too, because I remember you could create your own player and
There were some heavy strategic. I mean, it's pretty much a sports RPG too, in a sense. I mean, there's some other games, sports games they've made that are probably heavier with the RPG elements, but that was definitely the first that had, you know, some serious strategy to it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Glenn and myself will be heading up. We're going to launch another feed from this, the PTBN After Dark feed, where we talk about some games that 17 and older, I think. Is that what we discussed?
I'm going to flag it as explicit, as all of ours are.
Yeah, we're going blue for that one.
We want to talk to you after dark.
Chad's going to loan us his dice. gosh.
After an extensive review.
And maybe tease to folks, and maybe another rank and file with other members of this call, but sans myself, that you guys are working on.
Yeah, that is on the books, and it should be on sooner rather than later. We're going to be talking about some of those tabletop games, designer games, if you will. We're going to be looking at some of our favorites with three of the four people. Is this the new Core 4, by the way?
You know, I'm having some issues with trademark there. I wanted to come out like really hot with like, this is the new Core 4. I think we're going to run with it, because this is the new Core 4. The other one doesn't exist anymore. It's a shame. I like them. So
we had a good run.
Yeah, it turns out that the only trademark we could get was Core 4 with two R's.
Core 4.
That's it. Yeah, so there's some you know, issues with that, and you know, trying to appease everybody. But yes, this is the new Core 4, because we will be doing some things together. So Glenn, tell us what we're going to be doing together.
Oh, that's After Dark.
Okay.
With dice.
I did say dice games in the beginning, but I'll talk about that when it's my turn. Go ahead.
I was discussing this a little while earlier today with my brother, my partner on the old Spectacular, and anyone who read the High Spot when Steve Willey and I wrote that column every week at Place to Be Nation knows that sometimes I liked to throw in little bits of SmackDown versus Raw 2007 General Manager Mode stories. Now, that's just what I'm talking about in terms of choosing one game and just playing it forever, as the General Manager Mode allowed us to do, and we wound up imagining all of these weird teams and different stories and kind of importing that onto what we were doing in the actual game in terms of what the game actually allowed you to do. And anyone who read those columns, I hope, had fun reading some of those stories, and there are a couple more where those came from, so we'll see if we can find a way to present that.
Wow, that is a hard one to follow, because that pretty much cemented Glenn Butler as a PTBN guy for life. I love those personally. I mean, I would say, honestly, I probably fell in love with you when I read those. I was like, he is taking a video game 7 years old and like romanticizing about it in a way that you could all relate to, like sitting around and playing the same game for hours and hours and hours. And it was very relatable. So I'm excited to see that come back. And you can still find those. A Place to Be Nation. They we like to use the word evergreen. They still hold up, you know, because it's a game from 9 years ago. So it's just good stories.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's the last good one, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll probably talk about that too. I think that, boy, won't we? You know, and one of the things too is, so it's not just going to be our Core 4. I talked before, like some guests and stuff. I think that, you know, you're going to hear a lot of familiar names within Place to Be Nation, because again, we're looking for people that are really into that. I think that wrestling games will be a very hot topic that I think a lot of people will raise their hand for. That we'll probably have to break it down into years or something, or a range or whatnot. But you know, that sounds great, Glenn. And so what some of the things I'm working on is, you know, I'd like to put together a show around the Super Nintendo's recent 25th birthday. And that may have Butler story on there also. And I know our friend Parv over the pond, he's a big Super Nintendo guy. So I'm trying to wrangle him into something, maybe with just him and I, and we kind of piece things together with that. I'm going to I think we're going to definitely see something on NBA basketball games. Probably going to reach out to, you know, do a little networking with my buddy Rich Kreisch over at Voices of Wrestling, who also does NBA podcasts and NBA video game streams, and he and I have gone back and forth a little bit. They did a Lakers versus Celtics for the Sega Genesis stream. So I immediately had to pull like the super nerd card and be like, well, you know, Lakers versus Celtics for DOS was the first game that I saw, and then like I showed all these screen prints, and I am gigantic dork. So I think that definitely has legs. And then those ranking shows we talked about, the Nintendo 64 one is going to be epic, blow away. I know that Chad was really into that too, so I think we're going to have a group of here, and I am sure that we will have our friend Andy Helene back on again. Andy was great on the 16-bit show. Yeah, so a lot of great ideas here. I do want to thank everybody for kind of tuning into this primer. And now, you know, as I hinted at before, so we do have a code. So what I do, what I have is and it is related to wrestling. So I have a code for WWE 2K16 for Steam. So if you're a PC gamer, all you have to do is find me on Twitter at Brad21126 or at Place2B Nation. Retweet the link for this show when we do put it out, and then message me about the contest, and the 51st person that messages me will win the code. So I mean, I think that seems pretty. No, actually, you know, we'll do the first person. But let's get the bar pretty low. And I'll
just go open Twitter.
Okay. and I will send you that code for that game. So I want to thank all three of you guys for joining me. This is something we planned for a couple weeks, something I think we're all passionate about, which is why I wanted to set it up like this. So I want to thank Jordan, Glenn, and Chad again. Again, this is Brad here at Place to Be Nation. You can find PTBN Play, a lot of P's because I'm doubling down, baby. We are on iTunes, Google Play, and also you can find us on Podbean, of course, and of course at PlaceToBeNation.com. So we thank you for listening, and we'll connect with you, and we'll hopefully game with you real soon.
Game over, man. Game over.